That's great stuff. I love their music. We're talking right now a subject that probably should be talked about a lot more, especially when it comes to coaching, especially when it comes to youth sports. We overburden our kids from season to season. We started the whole show with people in your community that provide this peer pressure on you and intimidate you into thinking that you've got to have your kids signed up year-round, doing it their way, on their schedule, their travel plans. They take away your family life. They take away the very essence of childhood, basically. And then they intimidate you with this information that your kid's not going to go to college on a scholarship if he doesn't come out for the travel team. He doesn't play year-round. If he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. Then you look into their backgrounds, and they have none. That's the reality of the situation. And there's so much more. And are you overparenting? And are you putting so much pressure on kids? Here's a fact here that you should really mull over. The number is 25%. That's the drop in free play time for 6 to 8 year olds from 1981 to 97, while homework more than doubled. I mean, what are we doing to our kids? And our next guest, he's been on before. He's written a great book called Simplicity Parenting. He's written other books too. He's a great expert on this subject. He was just quoted in the Time Magazine article. It was last week, The Case Against Overparenting. Kim John Payne, welcome to the ABCs of Sports. Welcome back to the ABCs of Sports.
Hey, Scott, it's nice to be speaking with you again.
Hey, Kim, you've been around. Now you're out on the speaking tour, but now you're picking up a lot of media. You're on the big, I believe it was on ABC and other networks. How this Time Magazine article has hit home, I think.
You know, probably about 10, 15 years ago, talking about this kind of thing, a lot of parents were feeling it really wasn't an issue. But more and more now, I'm finding when I'm out on the road, like you were saying, that this is coming more into focus these days. It really is, isn't it? It's yep. In a lot of people's minds, a lot of conversations going on around it.
Well, they probably call it, I'm trying to pinpoint it, but there is probably a tipping point somewhere that has hopefully finally hit upon us where what are we doing to our kids? We've overscheduled them. We are overplaying them in organized activities, and they go from school to one organized activity to the other, but we let other parents in the community strong arm us and intimidate us into doing that. Do you see the same thing?
Yeah, you know, one of the things that I find with, you know, the so-called helicopter parents, or there's this other term, I don't know if you've heard of it, of stealth parents,
yes,
you know,
yeah.
Who you know, you don't see coming, and then you get hit, and then you don't see them leaving. There's a lot around about it, as we're saying, but one of the things that I've come to recognize, and this might sound a little bit controversial, a little bit of an unusual thing to say, is that on one level, and that's an instinctual level, I've come to recognize that so-called helicopter parents are actually right. Now let me explain.
Yeah. Oh, back up.
Yeah, let me explain that. I think they're right on an instinctual level, because on a gut level, on an instinctual level, when I speak with these parents, they know that something is not right. Something's going on, and it's not okay. And what's not okay is this just society pushing harder and harder and harder to have our kids achieve more and more, younger and younger. It's just too fast, too soon, too quick, too sexy, too young, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And these parents have kind of bought into that. Now, they've bought into that. But society as a whole, up until really recently, is saying, you know what, that's normal. So on one hand, you've got society saying, parents, it's normal to do this to your kids. It's like the new normal. It's so ubiquitous that we've almost stopped noticing it. You know,
yeah.
It's normal.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, they know on a gut level that something's not right, and it makes them hover. Now, Scott, you're a parent. You think about in your parenting. The only time probably you and I really hover around our kids is when they've got like a fever or something. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah.
They're sick, and you just you're
worried.
Too far away.
Yeah.
You're a bit worried, and so you hang around a bit. Well, what I think is going on is our kids have got like they've got emotional fevers. And the parents hang around because they know something's not right, but society tells them it's okay, and there's a disconnect.
What do you think? I think you're absolutely right, and I talk about it on the show, too. I think I've got a highly educated audience that listens to this show. I call them the silent majority. They want to know the solutions, but you're right. Society stops them right in their tracks because there are sort of roadblocks that are placed, and that's why I call it a revolution, because to overcome roadblocks, it can be a bloody road at times, but you gotta take a stance, and maybe you can find, I don't know, Kim, maybe they can find it collectively as a group, talking to other parents, almost like support groups, to say, what's your kid saying? What are they doing? Is this, you know, I just thought that maybe, you know, playing year-round of one sport is not the most ideal thing. I'm starting to see this or that. Maybe if they talk to each other a little bit more rather than trying to compete against each other, they might see something different and might be able to help each other.
You know, that's spot on, because the thing that I find is that the first recognition, the first thing I say to parents who are hovering, it's not just around sports, as we know, it's around academics, it's around any kind of endeavor that a kid gets into, or the parents place them in this. It's almost like parenting has become like a competitive sport in itself. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, another way to see it is like it's like the parental arms race, you know, and it's like, you know, and so rather than getting into that arms race, if parents exactly can sit and talk to each other and say, what's going on for you with this? Does this bother you? And we start to then recognize that actually it's bothering a lot of people.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And you know what? Here's another point, because we unfortunately don't have a lot of time here, because we could talk an entire show about this. And I think, Kim, we will do that, because I think it's an important enough subject to talk about. But because our audience is essentially all parents that are concerned about their kids. But free play. You know, you've written a book about play, the different activities about play, how important play is. But I don't think people really realize how important it is in the development of a child's both their brain as well as physically.
You know, one of the key things about play in terms of this theme, Scott, is that when our kids play, one of the things that happens is that play is like creative play, construction play, or if they're little, you know, they're playing with their toys. If they're older, they're doing different things, of course. Play changes. But what happens in play is that it's almost a little bit like digestion. They actually can take a hold of what's been going on around them. They can take a hold of this busy old life that we often subject our kids to, and it's through play that they actually digest. And so that's the key thing about play, is to give our kids downtime so they can play. But when I speak with parents and I ask them, well, what's the problem with letting your kids play? What's just unstructured time? Often the word comes up is boredom. And I think of boredom, I call it the gift of boredom, because, again, you and I are both parents, your listeners are parents, and we know that, you know, if my kids come to me and say, Dad, you know, I've got nothing to do, for a start, I grew up on a farm, and that's a bizarre statement to say, you know, I just look at them like they're from another planet. But you know, if they sort of say, well, you know, that's a real pity, and they come and say to me, that's a real pity, I'm more boring than the boredom, okay? I get really boring. And then within 20 minutes, 30 minutes, they're doing some of the most creative stuff. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah.
That boredom is like the precursor to creativity.
Oh, yeah. And when they're it's almost like they're forced to find the things that they would like to do or would like to create. And I'm telling you, as it relates to sports, and I've talked to an awful lot of college coaches who say that they're getting more and more kids that show up. And, you know, the creative coaches are the ones that say, okay, show me what you do on your own. What are the skills you want to work on? Come up with a drill that helps you develop your skills, and then watch the players' jaws drop and look at you and go, I don't know what to do. You know, you got to tell me what to do. So these coaches are saying that kids in sports are so robotic They got to be told that they've lost any type of creativity, which has really seriously hampered their athletic development and their overall playing development.
And who they are, of course, as human beings.
Yeah.
And who they are as human beings. You know, there are many, good college players, but an outstanding college player, of course, are going to have good skill sets. They're going to be good at that stuff. But where they're going to rise, where they're really going to be an outstanding player and actually have a great time, is when they're great human beings. And to do that, they need a lot of unstructured time. It's just like farmers there was a crop rotation, right? 30% was real busy. There was a crop. 30% was just planted, and 30% was just left fallow. Was just left to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as parents, our instinct says that we've got to give our kids downtime, but society is telling us no. If you do that, they won't get into an Ivy League college. And actually, the opposite is true. These competitive colleges are looking for well-rounded human beings.
Mm-hmm. And it's a great point. And it's happening in athletics. It's happening in academics. It's probably happening in the music scene. Let them just fool around with their instrument. They probably will learn an awful lot more.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with giving kids music lessons, giving them a little bit of form, but then they need to have time just to fool around, like on the instrument as well. We need to sort of back off and simplify. And in my book, Simplicity Parenting, which I wrote with Lisa Ross, because a lot of people are talking about this, and what I tried to do in the book, as you know, Scott, is lay out four layers of simplicity. It's worth a few books that don't actually ask you to learn anything, that actually asks you to do less, and it just lays out four layers of how to do less. And it's been amazing to see these, before you're talking about grassroots movements, there's been these simplicity parenting support groups that have sprung up all around the country. And we're training simplicity parenting coaches now, just discussion leaders. And it's amazing how many people come into those meetings and realize there are hundreds of other people who are also questioning this too fast, too much, too soon stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the book is fantastic. And anybody, if you're a parent, you should pick this up. Simplicity Parenting. It gives you another perspective and maybe make you pause, in your fast, busy, organized life. Take a pause and say, wow. Maybe there is hope, and maybe there is a better way to do this, which is a lot easier, actually, at the end of the day. So, Kim, tell me, you're pretty radical, though, sometimes in your approach, where you'll go into a kid's room and actually take toys away. What are you, the Grinch that stole Christmas?
The Grinch with an Australian accent. Now, one of the things that's got a lot of media attention, and I'm doing, all these shows, and it's great. I love getting the message of this thing out there, and I love it that these large media outlets know that a lot of people are interested in this. And what they're picking up on is the kind of a Christmas, the toys thing. But really, what I'm talking about with I used to offer a parents like a year of family therapy or a visit from one day, from wake up time to bedtime. It's kind of interesting how many still chose a year of therapy, actually. But what I would do is I just watch and see how we could figure out how to simplify. And one of the things that most parents right away can relate to is simplifying the kids' environment. So most kids have got over 150 toys. They've got over 200 books. They've got just unbelievable amounts of clothes. And so we started not so much just to chuck them all out, although it's a good opportunity to get rid of the really annoying toys and all that sort of stuff. But
the drum set would be the first, I think.
But it's just to simplify the child's environment, because what that does, I'm not suggesting that we don't give kids books, but if we want our child to really have a love of reading, then we'll only give them three or four books at a time to have on a shelf, and then what we'll do is cycle them through in a kind of library style so that they really go deeply into a book. A lot of kids are just scanning books now, not really reading them. And so that was like the foundation, that's the foothold into to sort of simplifying, because the other levels, as you know, I talk about, is really strengthening rhythms and predictability in a family life. And then I talk about simplifying schedules. That's the third level. And then finally, and the big one, you know, because I start the book with just toys and stuff just to try and make people believe this is going to be easy. You know, it's just a con, really. But by the end, I talk about too much exposure to adult stuff, much exposure to adult conversation, too much media, just too much exposure to all the stuff that kids just shouldn't see and hear.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Hey, to this point too, Christmas is coming up. My 10-year-old, I asked him, he has a birthday close by too, ask him what he wants for his birthday, what he wants for Christmas. He struggles now. He struggles with, he even admits he has everything. I mean, we do this to our kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've taken away Christmas because they can't look forward to it.
Well, hey, do you remember, Scott, when you used to go to a toy store?
Oh, I know. It was magical. You wanted to be in there. Now he's outgrown toy stores.
You know, toys like, you know, they're in drugstores. They're in gas stations, always right conveniently at the level kids can reach,
right?
They, they are everywhere. The marketers have taken over. And so that this whole thing about, you know, there's so much. Do you remember when we were kids, we would really look forward to those big days in the year, and there was anticipation.
Mm-hmm.
But what anticipation does is that it builds impulse control, and it builds an ability to actually be able to hold back and sense when the right moment is there and then go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key to a fantastic athlete, is to sense the moment, look for the opening and go for it. But it's also just a foundational piece in what it is to be a great human being, to be a good daddy, a good mama, and a good businessman, goodness, because it really worries me how many kids now struggle with delayed gratification and impulse control, because I see that. And on the other hand, I look at the employment opportunities for kids these days, and it's a lot of it is about entrepreneurial. They have to make their own livings. That jobs for life thing is kind of fading, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
And so if they're going to be good business people, they're going to have to just hold back and wait for the right investment, wait for the right product, whatever they're doing, and then go for it. And we're raising a generation of kids because we don't ever make them wait. That they're
good
not
point.
Learning that on a day-to-day basis.
And it's a case in sports, too. It's all about, you know, you got to do it today and become, you know, let's get them into the professional model as quickly as possible and not let them develop as a kid enjoying the sport. But let's, you know, they got to do it the adult way, not the kid way. And it's horrible. Hey, Kim, great talking to you. The book is called Simplicity Parenting. I highly recommend it. Kim, we really should come on and do an entire show. We may even invite Luis Fernando Llosa. You know, he always tries to get in here.
Well, you know, and I hope he wears those red pants.
That was a fashion statement if there ever was one, let me tell you. It's Christmas season. We could have them in. Kim, great job. Great stuff. And have a great holiday. The best to you and your family. And hope to talk to you soon.
You too, and to all your listeners. Thanks, Scott. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Kim John Payne, the author of Simplicity Parenting, joining us today. Some good stuff. So some stuff we'll continue to touch upon, because I think it's extremely important that you learn about this stuff and how to go about learning from others to really simplify your life and your kids' life. You might find a lot more growth and a lot more probably benefits as you do it, and the book will tell you how. More when we get back on SiriusXM Sports Nation to wrap up the show right here on channels 122 Sirius, 143 XM.
the ABCs of sports. Sirius XM Sports Nation. Sirius 122 XM 143. Here's your host, Scott Lancaster.
Wrapping up another good show. 2 hours of fast-paced information. Hopefully you took something away from it. Don't let people intimidate you in your community. Don't let them tell you what to do and how to do it. You know what's best for your kids. Get together with other parents. Get together and have, you know, intelligent conversations about it. What are your kids saying? It's not a competition. No, it's not a competition against other kids or other parents or other families. It's about how to figure this out as a community to do the best thing for our kids and not push them so hard that they don't want to do it anymore, because that's exactly what's going on in the world and in communities across the country. Kids are getting so fed up, they just throw up their hands and say, enough is enough, I'm not going to do anything. And it's so kid-like, but it's also so refreshing in a lot of ways. And that's what it should be. Join us on Monday, 12 to 2, live right from Orlando. We're at the American Youth Football National Championships. We're at Austin Tyndall Park. And join us there. Look it up. If you're in the area, come visit us. It'll be a great way to...